Welcome to What's Eric Eating? Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map editor Eric Sandler. On today's show, we will talk about some news in the world of restaurants, as well as a recent meal that we had that I think you'll want to know about. To do that, I'm joined by my co-host this week. She's the owner of Avondale Food and Wine. Mary Clarkson, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Howdy, Eric. I'm great. Happy to be here on this Monday as we tape.
Thanks for doing this. Let's dive right into the news of the week. Topic number one, not really a restaurant story, but a real estate story with restaurant implications. So, Mary, put your real estate attorney hat on and tell me what you think about the news that Tillman Fertitta has bought River Oaks District, the mixed-use development on Westheimer just inside 610, for a reported price of $450 million. Now, I should note that that is $100 million less than a branch of J.P. Morgan Asset Management paid for it in 2016. They paid $550 million for it. So maybe Tillman got a good deal. You know, this news broke last week. What did you think when you heard it?
You know, my background is the land of commercial real estate, and I think he saw a value play here. And from everything I can tell, I think he got a good deal. Paying $100 million less than an institution like JP Morgan, that's a good thing. JP probably didn't want to be in the business of being a landlord, and Tillman has specialized knowledge that's going to help him increase the occupancy rate here. I know you and I were talking about this the other day, and there's a lot of restaurants in here, but there have been and continue to be a lot of empty retail doors for shops and stores of the like that are non-restaurant related. So I think there's good synergy here. I mean, he owns everything, right? He's got things like Rolls-Royce dealership, tons of restaurants, hotels, he's got retail, and this is just arm's distance from his current hotel restaurant campus. So I like this a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I think you sort of hit on something that must have been appealing to Tillman, which is that, as you said, he owns the Post Oak Hotel property, which is basically about a mile away on the other side of 610, which has the Post Oak Hotel with all of its restaurants and its spa and everything, along with Mastro's and Willie G's. Landry's corporate offices are there. So it does feel like, you know, you have the luxury hotel as a destination, and then that there may be some cross-promotional opportunities with the boutiques, as you said, the luxury boutiques at River Oaks District, as well as the restaurants.
Yeah, the restaurants is interesting. You know, there's a lot of diversity in terms of tenant mix here. You have local operators, you have national operators in here. You also have international operators. There's a restaurant from Mexico in there. You've got steakhouses, you've got French Asian, you have Spanish, you have a total, you know, diversity of tenants. And I think that he keeps them in place while he analyzes what he can put in there from his brands that works for him. You know, an Italian concept like Grotto would be a great fit for here. There's lots of restaurants he can pull from to put in here, as well as create some new ones. There's not a lot of large footprint available. It's mainly smaller retail. So I think he'll be looking for the foreseeable future to see what's the best fit for here.
Yeah, I mean, the one that comes to mind is that he's a partner in Catch, which is this kind of high energy seafood concept. They've got locations in various places in the country. I think there's one in LA. I think there's one in New York.
Miami, you know, I think.
Right, maybe Vegas. You know, he hasn't brought Catch to Houston yet. I don't know if he wants to bring Catch to Houston, but if he were so
Bizou
inclined,
is open, right?
Right, Bizou just closed a week or two ago. I don't know if it's big enough to support Catch. I don't know what the footprint of available property in between the Bizou space and then some of the retail in that part of the building, in that part of the property is like. But, you know, that would seem like maybe kind of that right intersection of a Landry's affiliated brand that would be consistent with kind of the high-end environment that River Oaks District is going for without conflicting with any of its existing tenants.
Yeah, I think he's smart. He's not going to cannibalize tenants that are in there. He'll create different concepts that will complement the ones that remain in the shopping center.
Yeah, and I do have to say I'm gonna steal a bit from a podcast I love listening to called The Press Box. If you posted somewhere on social media that he's going to install a Ferris wheel at River Oaks District,
Oh my God.
congratulations, you made the overworked Twitter joke of the week. All right, Mary, let's do topic number two. Harold's in the Heights closed after 11 years, almost 11 years on 19th Street. It is making way for a new restaurant called Blue Tuba that we don't know very much about, so we are not going to dwell on. But I thought we should pay our respects to Harold's, Ali Jarrett's restaurant. Do you have any particular memories of dining there?
I was dining there when it first opened, and the former CDC or sous chef of Catalan was the chef there, and I really liked the style of food when it very first opened.
Yes, Antoine Ware was the opening chef and brought his experiences working for Chris Shepherd at Catalan and Hay Merchant to that role. It's funny, Ali, the one thing that I'll take away is that Ali, to her credit, was like always kind of trying to figure things out. When she started, she had a whole kind of grocery and market component that didn't catch on. So she gave that up really quickly. She turned the downstairs into more of a bar. They did pizza for a while. That was kind of met with mixed success. So she kind of changed up the menu to be kind of more traditional bar food. She's brought in various cocktail people over the years to tweak their offerings. Upstairs has always been kind of southerny. She had, after Antoine left, she sort of cycled through some chefs, but she had Richard Knight in there for a minute. We know him from Feast and Hunky Dory. And it just always felt like, it always felt like she was always just kind of trying to constantly tweaking, constantly, kind of reacting to the neighborhood to figure out what was going to work. And so I'm honestly not surprised that Harold's has reached the end of its run, but I do respect the hustle.
Totally. And they had a good long run, I don't think of it as a failure. I just think sometimes it's time to do something different, or you've kind of run your space as well and as long as you can. So I'm excited to see what's next in the space. I will say that I have noticed a shift in, this used to be a very big corridor for the Heights, and it does seem like a lot of restaurants have popped up closer to Shepherd and 19th. Mood Rabbit, Basso, Squabbles over there. A couple of other smaller fast casual places are over there as well. You've got Gold Tooth Tony's for pizza. It's just, there's a lot going on in that little corridor. So I don't know if maybe some of the traffic or the eyeballs have shifted down the street, or if this still remains the preeminent block of the Heights, but it'll be interesting to see in the foreseeable future. There's certainly a lot more offerings in the Heights than there used to be.
Right. And, if you think about, 19th Street used to be like the only kind of place for dining in the Heights, but now 11th Street has so many restaurants: Loro, Trattoria Sophia, Hondo, Best Regards, Dish Society, Field and Tides. None of that stuff existed when Harold's opened. And of course, White Oak. I mean, we're Cultivari just celebrated its 10th anniversary. There's everything going on at the corner with Studemont and White Oak, with Carne and Mappajong and BB's, and so, it's just the Heights has evolved so much, and in 10 years it's changed so much, and there's so many more restaurants now than there used to be that, 19th Street just isn't the hot spot maybe, or doesn't have that preeminent status that maybe it did when Harold's first opened.
For sure. That used to be where you went to eat in the Heights, was kind of that area, because there weren't other options. But yeah, yay for the Heights. There's lots of options these days.
Absolutely. All right. And then topic number three, just briefly. Spring Branch favorite tacos Doña Elena has claimed the former Dak and Bob space on 18th Street in Lazy Brook Timber Grove for its second location. Mary, I'm you always surprise me. So have you been to tacos Doña Elena?
I am full of surprises, but I have not been. I did spend this morning looking up their menu, and I really do love birria tacos, and that's a mainstay for them. I'm interested in their ramen as well. That's kind of like a little interesting twist, and I like their price points and the style of dining. I think it's a good mix for this family-friendly neighborhood.
I agree with you. I also have not like I tried to go a few months ago, and the restaurant was so full, it was like there was hardly any room in the parking lot. It was like an hour away, and I was like, all right, I will get there soon, and I have not made it back, but I will make more of an effort, especially once the new location opens. What I will say is that this has been incredibly popular on Yelp. It's on the list of the Yelp's top 100 restaurants in the country for 2024, which is impressive by
That
any standard.
surprised me when I saw that, but yay for them. Like, congratulations. That's good for getting notoriety and attention.
Right, Burger Chan's on that list. I mean, there's a couple other places locally. Obviously, it has to do with, not just the quality of the reviews, which is to say a whole bunch of 5-star reviews, but also the number of people reviewing it. And so, you mentioned their price point. Being more affordable makes it more accessible for people who use Yelp to go and review it. So, nothing attracts a crowd like a crowd. So, if you're a Yelp Elite member or whatever, oh, you have to, you see that this is one of the most popular places in Houston, you feel sort of compelled to go there and weigh in. So it kind of feeds itself. But again, they've obviously achieved quite a lot there in Spring Branch, and it's paved the way for this opportunity. And I mean, I agree with you. I think that, Lazy Brook Timber Grove, kind of adjacent to the Heights, a family-friendly, affordable Mexican restaurant with great birria tacos and a whole bunch of other stuff on the menu. I mean, that just seems like a real winner.
Absolutely.
All right, Mary, I'm going to say that does it for the news of the week. We'll be right back with our restaurant of the week. Stick around. Mary, for our restaurant of the week, I want to talk to you about Sorrento Ristorante. This is an old school Montrose staple that is now under new ownership. We talked about this a few weeks ago when Melissa and Robert Salem announced that they had bought the restaurant. This article wound up doing very well. It was one of the most read articles on Culture Map in February, so we felt sort of obligated to follow up and dine there and check in. Just as a reminder, I know you talked about this the last time we talked about Sorrento, but you have a history with this restaurant.
I do. The former owner is a family friend. A boss and my grandmother were dear friends. My grandmother used to be a writer for the Houston Post and was a publicist. And I used to have monthly lunches with him, and we'd meet at his restaurant or he'd come to mine. And just kind of that shared history is pretty rare in Houston. And I think it's important to acknowledge many people who've come before you and people that can mentor you. He's a vibrant personality, very opinionated. I always loved that. I love dining there. And it's really funny. You and I dined there this past week, and I posted it to my stories, and so many people sent me notes like, "Oh, I used to love going there. Is it still good?" And a lot of them were attorneys, which is kind of funny. Given that the new ownership is partly an attorney. And so I think there's room for old guard restaurants to stick around and get a facelift and get an update, but still remain true to themselves and do the things that they've always done just in 2024, just make it fresh. And obviously they kept a lot of their stuff. Their limoncello martini is still delicious. Their bread presentation, their pastas. I loved this meal. I kind of yearn for these style of restaurants in a sea of openings that we have a hard time keeping up with sometimes.
Right. I mean, this meal reminded me of the kind of dinners that I would have with my parents growing up in the 80s and 90s at restaurants like Damien's, maybe Grotto to a certain extent, but Damien's was the one that sort of came to mind. Nino's, Vincent's, places like that. We don't really open Italian restaurants like this in Houston anymore. That kind of like somewhat Italian American, somewhat Northern Italian, jumbo limp crab meat on everything, kind of Americanized Italian restaurants, right? Like, you and I, we spend a lot of time going to places like Mimo that are kind of more classically Italian or simpler, more ingredient driven kind of places. But there is a place for, I think there is still a place for these kind of
Sometimes
old school.
more is more, and that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Right. So that we got the mushroom stuffed with crab, and then we also got snapper topped with crab. Like, I mean, I'm not complaining, right? I'm a native Houstonian. I've been eating this kind of food for a long time. You can kind of get it at Carrabba's in certain parts of the menu. And it may not be fashionable, but it never stopped being delicious.
No, and the service, there's so you can come here, and if you've been going here, you will still recognize a lot of the faces there, and it's welcoming. And we really don't have a lot of restaurants like this in Houston, so it should be treasured.
Absolutely. And I mean, we had the, a veal piccata. The veal was very tender.
Was delicious.
We had with a side of pasta that was good and properly cooked and all that stuff. Like I said, we had the mushrooms. We had a table side risotto that they toss in a cheese wheel, which is fun, right? Like, all heads kind of turn. They roll the cheese wheel out there. They toss the risotto in it. Now, does the risotto cool off a little bit? Like, is it as hot and fresh tasting as maybe it would be if it wasn't tossed in the cheese wheel? No.
Sure.
But
My
do
only
I?
edit to that would be a hot plate. Like they could make the
Right.
dish warm so it would counterbalance that.
Right. But do I like the theater of the thing? I mean, absolutely, right? Like, I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff. So I'm with you. We had a really pleasant service experience with a, oh man, and I'm just looking at my pictures. That calamari, just
Might
old
be the
school,
best.
crispy. Yeah, certainly I'd be hard pressed to name a better calamari that I've had, certainly recently, than what Sorrento is doing. And then, you opted for the souffle, which took a few minutes to come out, of course, while they baked it, but was just gooey and delicious and all good things. And it's both chocolate and Grand Marnier, right? You don't have to choose. You can get them both at Sorrento,
That's
and
a double
I'm
yum, Eric. Chocolate and
yes.
Grignier, yum yum.
With that old school ambiance, with the bread that's presented to you on a giant tray so that you can sort of pick, like, oh, give me a slice of sourdough, give me the onion loaf, give me the whatever, the breadsticks. I liked all of that.
Yeah, very few restaurants. Like, there's a lot of restaurants now that are newer. I can think of Zanti, for example, or Ben Berg's newest Italian restaurant, where they've got the Parmesan cheese wheel and they're doing that. But it's just a reminder that there's been a lot of restaurants. Like, new restaurants obviously source inspiration from existing restaurants. And I think it's nice to give credit to the ones that came before, right? And they've been around a long time. And that's no easy feat in this environment. So I will definitely be back. I'm actually thinking about going there for lunch. Like, it's open for lunch and dinner, and I think the price points at lunch are very approachable as well.
Yes, and they just brought back Sunday brunch, which might be a good reason to go back at some point to check that out and see what that's like.
Yes.
But yes, no, we had a very good dinner. It'll be nostalgic if you grew up in Houston eating at nice Italian restaurants. I think this will be a very nostalgic experience, and it was a good time. And I would go back, even kind of knowing my preference for slightly more contemporary restaurants. But I do think, I'm with you. I think Sorrento has a place. I think this new ownership has been good for it. They kept the things that we like. They've enhanced it in certain ways. The menu's a little bigger. They added pizza. They expanded the wine list. So, all good things.
Yes, definitely worth a trip.
Mary, I'm going to say that does it for the restaurant of the week. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That is it for today's show. Thank you for listening. Join me on Thursday when my guests will be Cinda and Armando Palacios from Palacios Murphy Hospitality.